This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello and welcome into the Take the North podcast. We thank you all for watching, for listening, wherever you do it. Dan Wiederer decided he was going to take himself a vacation. I suppose he does deserve that. So today we have a very special co-host on the Take the North podcast. He, the guy that you are seeing right now, if you're watching on YouTube or on the video, that is Ryan Chivarini, ladies and gentlemen. He is the ABC7 lead sports anchor. You know him as a star, as the co-host of Windy City Live. And now, Chivarini, you're on Take the North. How does that feel, buddy?
It feels great. And man, what a great broadcasting voice you have, Grody. I just want to sit back and listen to this. This is beautiful.
How you doing, everybody? A little bit. We're going to give away some stuff. We got traffic and weather together coming up. And Ryan Chivarini is going to give something away. How does that sound for you?
Exactly. Perfect. Just like that, you know, broadcast news would be proud, man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We are thrilled to have Ryan here. He does all the things that I just said. You can see him on television every night on the Mighty 7 and on Windy City Live as well. But the place I want to start is, don't get it twisted, man. Chivarini was you were on this Bears beat for years. Which years were you on this Bears beat?
You know what? I was lucky enough, Grody, to start in 06. I got here the year the Bears went to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
It was a running joke in the newsroom that I was the good luck charm. I was the young kid they hired, and I'm covering every game. And all of a sudden, Rex Grossman, nobody could believe it, but he took them all the way to the Super Bowl. And that was a fun first start to the, you know, to my career here in Chicago and my career at ABC7. And I mean, who would have thought that we would never see the Bears go back since? I mean, hardly win a playoff game since, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, this is crazy, man. This is a stat I throw out there every once in a while. The Chicago Bears have won 6 playoff games since 1985. And we all know the significance of that. Yes, they've gotten there at times, but they've won 6 play. That's a problem. The good news is, Ryan, it appears that the organization is acting with urgency, probably unlike they have in the past. You know what I mean? Like, there's been a lot of half-stepping in the past. Like, let's just go back to Jay Cutler. That was a hell of a trade. I still support it, and I know that Jay Cutler was not what everybody thought he was going to be, but it was half-stepping because he had a nice defense, zero offensive line in front of him, and not necessarily the greatest coach in the world. Well, actually, Lovie Smith was good. Now it appears, man, that things are running in the right direction. Do you sense that? Or am I being fooled by some of the splashy moves that they've made with Ben Johnson and the offensive line and the defensive line?
No, I think you're absolutely right. They've been aggressive, but they've been strategic. You know, and every offseason we get excited. We get excited, you know, when they drafted Caleb Williams number one. Well, hey, we forgot, or people forgot quickly, that you got to pay to get good offensive linemen. You got to draft high to get good offensive linemen. As you know, when they drafted Darnell Wright, it was not a sexy pick, but he's going to now be your you know, an offensive lineman on the right side of the line for the next 10 years, right? So every great team, it starts with a quarterback and an offensive line. I mean, that's just the way it is. If you look at all the great Brady teams, he had amazing offensive line. You look at, you know, those Chiefs teams, amazing offensive line. And it's not for lack of trying. Everybody says that Ryan Poles, oh, he was an offensive lineman and he didn't even want to address the offensive line. You got to remember, they brought in some guys that just flat out couldn't play. I mean, Alex Leatherwood was best interior lineman. He won the Outland Trophy. He was a first round draft pick. How can that guy not play at the next level? But he can't. I just talked to an offensive line coach in the NFL who doesn't want to release his name, but he told me a lot of stuff. And one of the things was, and I said, how does a guy who was all American in two positions and he just can't play at this level? He keeps bouncing around. He's like, this level is just, it's a different game. At this level, he goes, the two hardest things to find are quarterbacks and offensive linemen that pan out in the NFL. They're like unicorns. And right now, I like that the Bears went out and did what they did. They restructured this whole offensive line with guys that are proven and can play and that are not too old. You know, some guys are saying, oh, some of these guys are on the wrong side of 30. These, all of the guys that they signed to 3-year deals, this is their window now, right? They got 3 years with this core. And now you have Caleb Williams going into a second season with a hell of a offensive coordinator, you know, and Ben Johnson. I think what he did for Jared Goff and just resurrecting his career, when basically the Rams, he was sort of a castaway, right? They got rid of him and said, oh, he was the reason why we couldn't win a Super Bowl. And obviously they win a Super Bowl as soon as they make that trade with another quarterback that was a castaway, not a castaway, but, you know, it wasn't winning in Detroit. So then everybody said, oh, Jared Goff is the problem. Well, Ben Johnson turned that around. And he's going to have to do some different things with Caleb because obviously Caleb is a different quarterback. But I think Ben's going to make him a heck of a better pocket passer, you know, because we know that Caleb holds the ball a little too long. But he's also going to have now an offensive lineman. I mean, everybody's talking about, and I'm sure we're going to get to this, but draft a running back at 10. I'm not so sure. I mean, DeAndre Swift is a great running back, and he's only 26 years old. And I'd like to see what he's going to look like with this offensive line.
Well, that is interesting, man, because I've talked about that. One of the things is, while I want all the splashy players, while it's great what they've done with the offensive line and the defensive line and all of that, can Ben Johnson, can he take what is left on the roster? And you can't replace every single player on that roster and elevate those guys and make those guys better. Now, you said that DeAndre Swift, you think he's a great running back. I don't know, man. I want you to sell me a little bit more on that, because except for spurts with the Bears, obviously, and I know everything was messed up last year. I understand that I need to concede some grace to everybody that played on that team last year, but I just haven't seen the consistent star level. Do you think Ben Johnson can get DeAndre Swift to that level? Is that what you're thinking?
I mean, I don't know if he's going to be better than Ashton Jeanty if you want to draft him at 10, but what I'm saying is, there was 28 different line combinations for the Bears last year. There are guys on that line like Nate Davis. I don't even believe he's been picked up. He's out of the league.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to be back in the league.
Terry Borum is not a good player. No. I mean, that offensive line, you know, they had the cheapest offensive line in the NFL last year. If you want talent, you got to pay for it. It's just the way it is. The Angels found that out with Ohtani. You don't want to pay him, somebody else will pay him. And you got to pay for greatness and you got to draft high. So, yeah, I mean, I'm still of the mindset that, you know, even with that 10th pick, I'm leaning still toward offensive line. Yeah, Ashton Jeanty is a great player. What this does by, you know, getting Dahlman and Tooney and Jonah Jackson, now this opens up your options at least to say, hey, Now we can at least take the best available player, whether that be Will Campbell at left tackle, because I don't think Braxton Jones is, I think he's been decent. I mean, he grades out okay. You know, he's a better pass blocker than he is run blocker. It's a 70% grade on the run block. If you think Will Campbell is going to fall to 10 because they say his arms are too short, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, Grody. I mean, I didn't play at the NFL level, but I did do all the measurements in the combine and played in college.
Uh-huh.
And guys at Colorado that could jump out of the gym, and they had all these amazing, you know, just measurements, but could they play ball?
Yeah.
The guys I know, I mean, look at some of the best players of all time, the Jerry Rices, the Tom Brady's. They don't have the best numbers at the combine. Can a guy play ball? Like, Will Campbell can play ball. I think he can be a left tackle for the next 10 years.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've thought about this and I get shot down every single time. If Will Campbell was to drop to the Bears and they were on the Peter Skoronski, his arms are too short to play tackle, and they decide, you know what, he's a guard, would we have any problem trying to put Will Campbell at, if he was good enough, if he was ready, if in the OTAs and in the camp, to be Jonah Jackson at right guard and have Jonah Jackson be the backup? Now, where I get the pushback on that, Shiverini, is Grody, you're not going to pay a guy like that, like Jonah Jackson, to be on the bench. But if you were to draft Will Campbell, can you see that as a possibility, or would you like to join the bandwagon of people who think I'm ridiculous for that idea?
I don't think you're ridiculous, but I'm of the essence that if a guy has dominated at that position in college, right? I mean, he's an All-American consensus at left tackle. I'd like to keep him there, because you saw what happened with Tooney in the Super Bowl. You know, you take a guy out of his position and try to put him into a position that he's not as comfortable in. I mean, some guys can make that transition on the line from guard to tackle and tackle to guard. I mean, I used Leatherwood as an example. He was All-American in both positions.
I can't believe you started the podcast with Alex Leatherwood talk. That was good. That was good.
Yeah. The only reason why I always bring him up is because I get tired of Bears fans saying, oh, it's about time they addressed the line. Like, Poles was a lineman. He never addressed the line. There were other guys that they tried to, you know, bring in. The bottom line is the Bears had so many needs. 2 years ago, this was one of the worst rosters, maybe the worst roster in the NFL a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And you build these pieces slowly. You build through the draft and you build through, you know, free agency. I love what they did in the offseason. I mean, I think that all of these moves have really been wise moves and strategic moves. And now, again, it opens your options. Who knows? Maybe they, you know, right now they have 4 picks in the top 75.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can really get some great talent. Maybe they trade down on 10. Maybe they go back and get 2 more picks. And I would be okay with that. But if you have a chance to get a stud at 10, and you know this is a franchise player at that position, you got to go after him. Whether that's Genty, you know, whether that's Tyler Warren, I know that's been, you know, the top.
That's my guy.
Tight end, because I know Ben Jackson loves going with the dual tight ends. I mean, put him and Cole Kmet together, that's a pretty good mismatch. So if you know, we love playing armchair quarterback, but you and I both know there's a team of people and guys that are breaking down every single snap for every one of these players. And even they can't get it right, because it's still, at the end of the day, a coin flip. You have guys that are first round draft picks that play 2 years in the league, 3 years. And then you have a guy who's a 6th round pick that's a stud, or like a Grady Jarrett was a 5th round pick and he's a superstar.
Yeah. Yeah, and trust me, man, the Bears are having the same, and on a much more higher aptitude, they're having the same conversations we're having and that everybody in this town is having. Of course, they're meeting and talking about Ashton Genty. They're meeting and talking about Tyler Warren, just the way we're kicking it around. So trust me, all of that will be met with their due diligence, and who knows what they come up with. And as we get closer, we'll probably start to hear some things, and we'll certainly release those here on Take the North. But Ryan, I got a couple more things for you, and then I want to get you out of here so you can go on television and all of that. But you mentioned it, man. You have been through the combine process. You played football. Tell us, when you played football at Colorado, what position, what you went through and all of that, if that's possible to capsulize here in the final minutes of Take the North.
Yeah, well, I actually was blessed enough to play with my twin brother who got drafted. So he went through the entire process. I did like NFL Pro Day at Colorado.
Okay.
My brother's Darren Shiverini. He coached Patrick Mahomes actually at Texas Tech.
Whoa.
And he says the same thing, by the way, about the offensive line. He's like, if you think you're going to build your entire offensive line on a budget and draft every guy in the fourth, fifth round, you're sadly mistaken. So he likes what the Bears did as well. But, you know, he was All-American. He was a stud. He was our team captain. And he's still, I think, fifth or sixth all-time receiving at Colorado. So we got to play there in the 90s, late 90s, when they still had some great teams. I mean, Rashawn won the Heisman. We came in 95. I came in a little bit after that. And I was the throw-in in the deal. You know, it was like, we really want Darren Cheverini, but if your brother wants to walk on, he can. But Gary Barnett actually was my coach, took over my junior year after Rick Neuheisel left, and he put me on full scholarship. So it's still to this day one of the best accomplishments of my career. I mean,
that's
I played every game. I was not a superstar, and I will not pretend that I was. I know every year a player gets done, he becomes a little bit better. The urban legend.
But what was your 40 time? What's the 40 time?
I think I ran a 4.62.
Christ, that is so much.
Yeah, my brother ran a 4.44, and he was 205. He got drafted by the Browns, the first pick in the fifth round, and played 4 years in the NFL. He still holds a record for most catches in a game by a rookie for the Browns. But he, you know, him and I talk about this stuff all the time about, are you a football player? You know, I mean, there's all these measurables. You're measuring the size of a guy's hand. You're measuring the box jump, you know. But can a guy play? You know, that, and that's what it comes down to for me. And does a guy have a heart? You know, these are the intangibles that come through in the interview process, right? This is why the teams meet with these players. Yeah, they want to see if they can jump out of the gym and do all of that. But at the same time, you want to see if a guy has fire. You know, a guy like Grady Jarrett, you know, who was a gem pickup for the Falcons.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And became really an institution in Atlanta. I know, you know, Falcons fans are super devastated he's gone. And if you heard his sound bites, like, he won the press conference, too.
He's cover.
But, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life, playing college football at the big level and walking on, getting a scholarship, getting a play. And it gives you appreciation doing what we do now to know what these guys go through, what they do. And when a guy goes, oh, this guy, he's terrible. I'm like, this guy was the greatest player his whole life at every level until he got here.
Right. Alex Leatherwood, if we can come full circle.
Exactly. He's great. Good bring back. That's comedy right there.
I will say this on the way out. One more thing, Ryan. You did mention that you came on the Bears beat in 2006 and they won the Super Bowl. And everybody was like, oh, you're the magic touch. You and I share this in common. I did. Oh, yeah, of course. I don't know why. I was just thinking about Devin Hester running back that. Yes, of course.
They won it after the first play, but go ahead, Grody.
Did Grody say they won a Super Bowl? Hold on a second.
Every year they get greater.
But I joined the Cubs in 2015. They won a World Series in 2016. So you and I can relate to each other. We can commiserate about this enormous burden that we had of being able to get a team to a certain level, and then it slides after that. And that is something that I've had to deal with since 2016.
Yeah. You know, I went and did Windy City Live for a decade. I came back to sports at the worst possible time. Every single one of our teams was in last place. Aside from the Cubs that were not great either. And then we had five coaches get fired in the last year. It's been a heck of a run. Like, it's been just brutal. It has been brutal. And, you know, for anyone that says, well, sportscasters, do you guys root for the teams? We want to see them win. Yes. It makes your life a lot better, and it makes your job a lot more interesting when you go on TV every night and you go, oh, guess what? The Blackhawks are in last place. The White Sox just set a record losing 121 games. Like, the Bears are in last place. Like, it is depressing.
Yeah, we're like meteorologists. We don't want to tell you that it's going to be 5 below 0. Do you know what I mean? We want to tell you it's going to be 65 and sunny and the city of Chicago is open.
Yeah. And you know what? This is, and every year I know that they suck us back in. People go, oh, I don't want to forget this team. You know, I took the Cubs, you know, 108 years. It feels like it's been 108 years for the Bears. But I think this is, out of all of the sports teams we have right now, Grody, the Bears are our best hope for a playoff team right now. I think the Cubs have a shot too.
Mm-hmm.
For a championship in the next couple of years, and for a serious run, I think the Bears have as good of a shot as as we have seen since that 06 season. And this team on paper is a heck of a lot better than that 06 team. That 06 team was really a dark horse that really surprised us, you know?
I mean, their quarterback was Rex Grossman. So, and their running back was Cedric Benson, who got hurt in that game, I do believe. Or was it Thomas Jones? I don't remember. Mike Brown didn't play in that game. That was a big part of it. Daniel Manning missing that the famous whiff. I hate that Daniel Manning has to, that has to be part of his lore, because Peyton Manning probably would have beaten the Bears anyway, but he's got to live with that.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy because you said, like, that opening kickoff, we were all there. It was pouring rain.
Yeah.
And we all thought, oh, man, the Bears, they're going to win this game. And then Peyton Manning took the field, and we all realized what a franchise future Hall of Fame quarterback looks like.
Oh,
and let's hope that Caleb, and I'm not going to put him in that he's a future Hall of Fame or anything like that, but let's hope that he's a franchise guy. For, you know, we had so much hope in Mitch Trubisky. We had so much hope in Justin Fields. And they might have been different players had they built an offensive line around them. You know, and that's the thing that Patrick Mahomes, everybody goes, oh, we could have had him, you know, at 10 and we passed up on him. Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have been the same player had he come to the Bears. Not because, oh, the Bears are a terrible franchise. I hate when people say that. It's just that the Bears have not built up their offensive line. They've predicated their team on this mentality that there has to be monsters of the midway and we have to address defense, have to address defense. You got to address both.
Yeah. And
finally, what we're seeing happen. So I'm excited for this team. I really think that they're going to be the most improved team in the NFL. And I don't hesitate to say that. I don't want to put a number of wins because I said they were going to win 11 games last year. And we know that didn't happen. But I do think this team could make a significant run for the playoffs if they play this draft correctly. And I think Poles is doing some good things.
Ryan, I just saw the timer go off for your chicken pot pie in the background there, so I will let you go, my friend. Looks good. That's a nice looking kitchen, my brother. That is good stuff.
Bachelor pad. I got a hot pot ready to go.
We should compare bachelor pads someday. Right now, I'm at the station, so I'm cheating.
This is my pride and joy right here. I just bought this 100-inch TV. Who does that?
Oh, that is nice. Is that in the kitchen? That is.
They're in every room.
Oh, they're in the monitors are?
You open the TV. You got to watch the games, you know?
Oh, that's no. That's smart, man. I mean, you are on top of it and you are prepared, baby. Thank you so much. It's Ryan Shiverini, ABC7, lead sports anchor. He is the co-host of Windy City Live. He is awesome. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on Take the North Live.
Grody, anytime, man. Thank you.
Got it, man. That is, again, Ryan Shiverini. Watch him on TV on Channel 7 just about every night. And thank you to everybody for watching and listening to the Take the North podcast. For that guy, Ryan Shiverini, for the executive producer who is wandering the hallways, Adam Stidzinski, and for Dan Weider, who's on vacation, I'm Mark Grody. We'll talk to you later on Take the North.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.